You're listening to 99.1 WQRT LP Indianapolis, and this is Create Here. Produced by artists and curators from Big Car Collaborative, Create Here is your place to listen to conversations with people making intriguing, innovative, and impactful things happen on the cultural front in Indianapolis, Indiana, and beyond. Find out more and access additional episodes at WQRT.org. In this program, Maya Michelson, the new director of the Indiana Arts Commission, talks with host Jim Walker of Big Car about her goals for the arts in our state and more.
This is Jim Walker, and I'm here with Maya Michelson, the executive director of the Indiana Arts Commission.
Hey, welcome. Jim. Thanks.
Hi.
Thanks to be here.
Well, thanks for coming in. We're really excited about your move into this job. You've been with the Arts Commission how long?
6 years.
6 years. So yeah. This isn't a new place for you, but you're taking over for Lewis and have a lot of things about now that there's a lot to do and a lot to think about. And we just thought it would be great to hear from you and, you know, just kind of talk a little bit about what your vision is for the arts in Indiana.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Yeah, so the Arts Commission isn't new to me. I've been there 6 years. And prior to that, I was in arts and economic development for the city of Bloomington for 8 years. And then prior to that, leadership in a variety of arts organizations, children's museums, festivals, art centers, and so forth. So I bring a really diverse background and then obviously experience in government, which, of course, an State Arts Commission is a unit of state government, right? So understanding what that role is, what that right role is for a State Arts Commission, I think is really important. And to your point, this is not where we expected to be, right? Obviously, to put it mildly. So what I'm focusing on, what I'm thinking about right now is recovery for the sector, what that looks like. We just launched a survey today to arts organizations with sort of a mid-year check-in. How's it going? Knowing that some organizations have reopened or are re-engaging and some are in the process, mm-hmm. and just wanting to know how it's going so that we can understand where the challenges are, where opportunities are, where we can think about future investment and support for the future. Because obviously, the five-year plan that we laid out for ourselves, it didn't account for any of this. And so we want to make sure that we're responsive in the right way and we're putting our resources in the right places and that we are bringing in partnerships to help and to help support the sector as it reemerges. And so that's a really important piece of what we're thinking about right now. Another really important piece is equity. We're thinking a lot about equity. Mm-hmm. We're thinking a lot about equity across a lot of dimensions. In fact, we just got some preliminary information from Indiana Youth Institute about equity in arts education and the access to arts education for K through 12. That's given us a lot to think about. So right. We're thinking about equity really across every dimension of the arts right now. So just starting to dig into that and figure out how best we respond to that and what are the different ways we should respond to it. So thinking a lot about that. And then also thinking about where we need to be, who we need to be listening to, who what spaces we need to be in that we haven't been in before, who we need to be talking to that we haven't talked to before. And I have been on the road quite a bit since I started in the executive position middle of October and will continue to do so, traveling around, just asking people how it's going, how we can be of support, what they need.
Yeah.
And lastly, a big area of focus of ours is the economic impact of the arts, right? I mean, we know that it's a significant part of the state's economic activity and vitality. So how do we support that? How do we, number one, highlight it, lift it up? Because a lot of people are surprised to find out that the arts in Indiana, arts and entertainment in Indiana is an $8 billion industry every year, you know, annually. And so that's a surprise to people.
Right.
So how are we investing in that as a state? And are we investing in it? Are we investing it in the right way? And I'm not just talking about not-for-profit organizations, but artists, right? For-profit arts and entertainment venues. How are we serving the entirety of the sector so that it is able to reach its economic potential? And then it's obviously its artistic potential as well. So we're paying a lot of attention to that, too. So working in a lot of different directions, you know, it's a little like whack-a-mole. But first and foremost, we're focused on, again, understanding recovery and supporting in recovery as we can, and pointing people to resources. And you know, so happy to see so many organizations get support from the National Endowment for the Arts, as well as the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant Program, which was an initiative of the Federal Small Business Administration, and pointing people toward those opportunities. And hopefully there'll be more of that that comes down the road, but making sure that people are positioned well to take advantage of those additional supports that are out there.
And the Arts Commission didn't need to maybe pivot as much as some others, because it feels like you were already working in this direction of thinking about place and economy and equity. It wasn't just like all of a sudden 2020 came and then you're like, oh, we got to change.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point, Jim. And I think for two reasons. Number one, we're a statewide facing organization, so we're always thinking about equity. And we have very small rural places where art gets produced, and we have very large urban places where art gets produced. And we have all volunteer organizations, and we have organizations that are all professional staff. So we've always been paying attention to the equity piece of it, again, through a lot of different dimensions. But we're now crunching the data and looking at the numbers to make sure that we're putting our supports, we're sort of putting our money where our mouth is, kind of, as it relates to equity, and making sure that we are being as equitable as possible. And also, obviously, transparent in that process. And then as it relates to placemaking and economic development, that's, you know, I came from that background at the City of Bloomington. So when I came into the agency, one of my charges was to really help focus and shape and steer the agency toward more work and more thought around the economic impact of the arts and the creative placemaking and the role that has in economic vitality of places. And of course, we know big cars played a big role in that, right? Especially in the Indianapolis area, but then other places as well. So luckily we have organizations like Big Car and Harrison Center and others that are doing that work and helping tell that story.
It's kind of an interesting path that we got to placemaking and arts as economic drivers, because some of that is maybe came out of partisan challenges, and you know, and we're in a state that is Republican in terms of who makes the laws and the majority, and that was really the situation in Washington too that the NEA was kind of dealing with. So it feels like a lot of this came out of let's do this in a way that includes a lot of people, but also made sure that we weren't ostracizing one side or the other. So that's something that you navigate in your job now.
Absolutely. And you make such a good point there. We are part of a national organization called the National Assembly of State Arts Agencies, and they are essentially that very thing. They represent all the state arts commissions around the country. And they recently put out a messaging guide about how to talk about the critical role of arts, mm-hmm. and how to talk and the language you could use that appeals to both sides of the political spectrum. And we know that we are obviously a Republican leaning state, a red state, but we know that there are great activities that happen that are produced by folks from all parts of the political spectrum and have all kinds of political views. People love arts because they love arts, right? So how do we talk to them about the impact of that thing that they love and they think that is so important in language that opens the door for support instead of language that closes the door for further conversation? So we're really mindful as a nonpartisan agency how important it is to make sure that our language is inclusive and that we recognize that people from all walks of life, all socioeconomic backgrounds, and all political perspectives appreciate and love the arts. And that's, you know, that's part of what our role is, right? To help reiterate that message and help our organizations with that language so that they can make their case to their local decision makers about support for their particular organization or cause.
One of my favorite partnerships we've had with the Arts Commission was also with the DNR and doing the natural resources and doing arts at state parks.
Right.
I was just thinking as you were saying that about how DNR and the Arts Commission and other nonpartisan agencies have just how valuable they are to our state in terms of quality of life and also ways that bring people together. So it seems like coming out of, when we do come out of the situation, that people are going to need to be together more than ever in public spaces, at art venues, and also just at our parks and state parks.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. The Arts in the Parks program that was a partnership with DNR was great in getting organizations like Big Car and lots of others, as well as individual artists, into spaces they'd, number one, not been before, but then also exposed folks who weren't necessarily expecting an arts experience when visiting a state park, a great opportunity to interact with an artist or an arts organization. So, unfortunately, that program is I'm not going to say it's in the deep freeze, but it's in the cooler right now because we're still laboring under a budget cut of about 10%. So that program, unfortunately, is resting right now in the hopes that we can bring it back. But what's really heartening right now is that we're having conversations with lots of different state agencies, and that's exciting. Yeah. And they are interested in working together on ways to support organizations, to support arts projects, to get involved in the work that we're doing. And we hope we can help support their particular goals and efforts in bringing artists and arts organizations into the mix. So that's exciting. And although we hope we can bring back Arts in the Parks, I think we're going to bring some other things to the table and engage some other state agencies with the arts, which is also exciting.
It's been impressive to me how nimble the Arts Commission has been over the last 10 years, and just being part of the bureaucracy of a state, you have all the excuses in the world to not be like that. So, and I know you do still go up against budgets and changes and things that are beyond your control, but you have to feel pretty happy about your ability as an agency to be adaptive.
Yeah, well, thank you. I appreciate hearing that, Jim. But I mean, our nickname internally is that we're the unicorn of state government, in that we're a little different. A lot of us, most everyone in the agency, in fact, everyone in the agency comes from an arts practice, has an arts practice, or, you know, has arts experience, or was an arts discipline major at some point in their life. So we come as administrators, but we come with that passion and that understanding. And I think we are extremely mission focused and people focused in particular. We recognize and know so many of our grantees quite well by first name and birthdays and all sorts of things, but we really do focus on service, and we really do care. In fact, like I said, we just issued a survey today to ask organizations how they're doing, and the opening line of the email is, "How are you?" Because we really care. We want to know how organizations and individual artists are in this moment, and so we really pride ourselves in that. We're small but mighty.
Yeah. So. What's your, as you look at the state, what do you see as in the arts, and how the arts have a role in community and in our future as a state? What do you see as maybe some of our biggest challenges? And then what are you the most hopeful about with our state?
I think one of our biggest challenges we see is, a couple of things. Number one, access, right? I mean, there's so many informal arts activities that are happening in the state in urban areas as well as rural areas that we just don't have the funds to support, right? All the informal after-school programs that involve the arts, all the informal theater performances or quilt guilds or all the sorts of informal sort of arts things that are happening that invigorate communities or neighborhoods, we just don't have the funds to support.
Right.
And that's difficult. Another challenge for us is we've seen an explosive growth from rural communities wanting to have murals, to have public art, to engage with artists, and they either don't know artists, or they don't know how to find artists, or they don't know how to get started, or so we're dealing with a real thirst for more, and just we're running up again a bit of a capacity issue related to how can we help boost all these communities that want to do this work. And that's a challenge, but it's also really exciting, right? I mean, I was just on the phone with someone from Albany, Indiana, which is a little tiny place up in the northern part of the state. They just done their first murals, and they've they've had their first taste and they're ready for more. Mm. And they're like, how can we, you know, what can we do? You know, and we talked a little bit about arts project funding, which will open up in January. But then we talked about, you know, how to get started and what's next and things. And it was just exciting to see them so excited about murals and just getting started.
Right.
And for those of us who have worked in this field for as long as we can remember, we can't remember the first time we were part of something that worked and was exciting in the arts, that was successful. We were in it before we knew it. But for right. some communities and some places, that first opportunity is a big deal, is a real big deal. And we'd love to be able to support more of those big deals in small places around the state. But I do want to give a shout out to OCRA, the Office of Community and Rural Affairs, and then the Indiana Housing and Community Development Authority, which has helped support some of that work with us, and we appreciate that. But there's so much more work out there and so much more enthusiasm for that work out there that we want to get engaged in.
There's a lot of places in the state that could use a little hope or a little joy, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I was in Monroeville, another small community that's up in the northern part of the state, and had went to a mural dedication there, their very first mural. It had a tractor on it, and they could not have been more pleased and proud. It was fantastic. Yeah. I mean, it was a series of five murals in five small places there in that East Allen County of Allen County up in northeast Indiana, and they couldn't have been more pleased. And those murals are not just their first foray of public art, but it tells their story, right? I mean, it reflects a bit of their history and gives them some pride and excitement, and it says, we're important enough to be invested in, right? We've got a story that's worth sharing. And that's, you know, everyone should feel good and proud about where they live.
For sure.
Yeah.
And you live in Bloomington.
And I do.
Down there, what do you do to be creative? What's your practice or your outlet you have time for?
Yeah, I'm a theater person. So my outlet is seeing as much live theater as I can. Also, I'm also a movie hound, and so just, you know, streaming every square, you know, every inch of time that I've got, I'm trying to, you know, I'm streaming something new and fabulous. So that's a passion of mine as well. So, and you know, it's an interesting thing, isn't it? You discover when you started as an artist and you end up sort of where I am, which is at some point the joy is helping make that experience happen for other people,
right?
And helping other people who need to create, help connect them with the opportunity to do that for other people. And so in a lot of ways, that's my joy, not just in the creation, but in the facilitation of other people's creation and sharing out. So that's what fuels me.
Yeah, that's very important. Okay, so if people want to find out more about the Indiana Arts Commission, where can they go, Maya?
And go to our website, which is arts.in.gov. And just give a shout out that we'll open our FY23, hard to believe, grant cycle. Guidelines will drop in late December, early January. Deadlines usually early March. We support both organizations and projects, arts projects. Don't have to be an arts organization to apply for an arts project. You do need to be a 501c3. But love to see new folks come to the table with interesting projects. And we do lots of workshops and capacity building around how to write a grant. So we try to make it pretty easy for you.
And you do have opportunities for individual artists.
Yep, we do. We have OnRamp, which is our big creative entrepreneurship boot camp. And the deadline for that to apply for that is early January, and you can find information on that. That is a 3-day workshop on how to take your creative practice to the next level as an individual artist, and we provide you with some fellowship funds to get your creative practice off the ground. So, and that workshop this year will be in Noblesville. So, we're really proud of that work as well. We have launched quite a few new entrepreneurs into the economy of Indiana. We're excited about that.
Well, I've been speaking with Maya Michelson, the Executive Director of the Indiana Arts Commission. I want to thank you for joining us here at WQRT.
Jim, thanks for inviting me, and thanks for everything Big Card does. You guys are great.
Thank you.